Thank you, Brother Jackson. I want to encourage Sunday school. I think Sunday school is a great thing. I appreciate parents who keep their children in Sunday school. It's a good time to learn. I ask for your prayers today. I want to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this service this morning. And I want to call your attention to a scripture reading found in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles and would care to read along with me this morning, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to begin reading with verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. And that is reading in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 21, or 20 rather, and the end of the chapter for a scripture lesson today. And I want you to notice in this that really what was being said in the first verse that I read is that he was saying that he had set before the people a choice. I've set before you a choice. The choice was life and good, death and evil. And of course, the desire was that they would choose life and good rather than death and evil. And also in this, I want you to notice, and we find this recorded in the New Testament in the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it is, 21st or 22nd chapter of Matthew, where Jesus was once asked this question: what is the greatest commandment in the law? I want you to think about that for a moment. What is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said that the greatest commandment, the first and the great commandment, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, with everything. That is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. And essentially what Jesus was saying there is that the fulfillment of all law is love. The Bible tells us that love is the fulfilling of the law. But again, I want you to notice that it was a commandment that was given. not a suggestion, but a commandment. We are commanded to love God. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. But does everybody do that? Does everybody love God? Does everybody love their neighbor as theirself? And of course, I believe that any reasonable person would know the answer to that being no. No, everybody does not love the Lord. No, everybody doesn't love their neighbor. If everybody loved their neighbor as their self, we wouldn't see all the violence and the wickedness that we see in the world today, would we? If people really loved other people as them, as their selves. And so, what happens? Well, obviously, people make choices. They make choices. People choose not to love the Lord, just as people choose to obey the commandment, and they do love the Lord, and they do love their neighbors. And there are people that choose not to do that. And so, they had a choice that was set before them. Now, the title of my message today is going to be "The Choice Is Yours." And I'll tell you what, if there has ever been a time in the history of humanity that this needs to be recognized and that this needs to be thought about, I'm convinced it's the day that we live in. People's minds need to turn back and grasp again the reality of personal accountability. Being personally accountable before things, because we live in a world where more and more all the time somebody wants to blame their own indiscretions and their own infirmities on somebody or something else. But we need to realize today, and that's what I hope to get across in this message before you today, that especially when it comes to the things of God, that we have a personal accountability before Him. The commandment to love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind is something that is commanded to all people, to everybody. That commandment was to everyone. But let me tell you something. I have a personal responsibility myself to keep and obey that commandment. And if I don't do that, if I fail in that, I cannot blame it on somebody else. Well, let me say this. I can't rightfully blame it on somebody else. I mean, people do blame things on other people, but I can't rightfully blame that on anybody else. It's my responsibility. In Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, and when you're thinking about making choices, this may be some of the most popular or most common scripture that people think about. But Joshua, speaking to Israel, he said this to them. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And don't you know that whether or not a person serves the Lord is personal choice? Personal choice. You either do or you don't. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, the fact that their forefathers had done wrong The fact that their forefathers had served these false gods on the other side of the flood did not justify them in doing it, did it? No. He goes on and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers serve on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now here Joshua is talking to these people, and he's telling them, telling them that they ought to fear the Lord and serve him, and he's reminding them of what their forefathers had done. But then he brings it back to them. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then make your choice. Make your choice. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. I remember one of the things when I was growing up, maybe some of you remember this as well. But I remember when I was growing up, one of the things that would never, I've told the church here this time and time again that I was under the tutelage of my mother a lot when I was growing up. My dad worked a lot of hours, and there was a lot of times that he wasn't there. And something that would never work on her, when I had done something, and I was trying to, you know, I had got caught and I was in trouble with mom and I was trying to justify it, something that she would never settle for was me telling her, well, so-and-so was doing it. I mean, I just couldn't get her to go for that. She would always come back with the same answer. It doesn't matter. You know, to you, it shouldn't matter to you what they were doing. It's what you did. And she always brought that around to me, that it's you that's responsible for what you do. You know, she had this saying. She said, well, what if he jumped off a bridge? Would you do the same thing? And I'm thankful for that teaching. Because it made me, you know, eventually I got it, and it made me realize, yes, I am responsible myself for the things that I do or don't do. And that's what Joshua was telling the people here. It's your responsibility. You are responsible for this yourselves. It's not what has happened in times past. It's your responsibility. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then make your choice of who you're going to serve. And he makes it known to them what his personal choice is. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have that verse as a reminder to me. I have that verse on a rock out in my front yard. I have that verse, thanks to my talented wife, I have that verse on my wall in my front room, in the main room of my house, in fairly big letters, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that serves as a reminder to me every time that I read it, every time I pass that rock in my front yard, every time I walk through my living room and see that, it's a reminder to me that I personally am responsible for what I do with the Lord. If I wrong Him, if I disobey Him, if I transgress against my God, it's me that will be held accountable for that. And we need to get that. We need to get that in the day that we live in. We need to return to that type of thinking. I mean, we have just seen all types of things, and we continue to see all types of things that people do, and then they want to blame it on somebody else. And let me tell you something. This is true to all of us. You know, whether you are a young person and you're in school, or whether you are someone in your adulthood and you're out working, Listen, there are going to be people in the world that are going to entice you with things. There are going to be people in the world that are going to try to allure you. There are going to be people that you will face throughout the days of your life that will try to persuade you to do things that are not right. And the Bible simply has this to say about it in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, because you ultimately are responsible for the judgments and the choices that you make." You know, listen, if you do something that ruins your life, you can blame it on somebody else all that you want, but your life will still be a mess. You know why? Because you made a bad choice. And I want you to think with me for a moment. Why did God allow this? Don't you hear that question all the time among people today? Well, why would God allow such a thing to happen? You know, if he truly is a loving God and a providential God and a merciful God, why does he allow the things to happen that happen in this world? Well, let's think about it. I mean, that question is being asked all the time. Let's think about it here for a moment. Why did God allow the first man to have a choice? We know that he did. We know that he did allow it. We read in the Bible that when God made Adam, when he made him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul, and God placed this man in the Garden of Eden that he had planted, and there he gave him a commandment: of all the trees of the garden he could freely eat, but there was one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "You're not to eat of that. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And I believe it's apparent to us in that God gave him the ability to choose. To choose. I believe the language, "In the day that you do eat thereof, you shall surely die." That alone tells us that God had made it possible for that man to choose. Well, why did he put the tree of good and evil there? I mean, people are asking that question. Why did he put the tree of good and evil there in the first place? Why did he put something there that would cause the man to be separated from him if he partook of that? God is all powerful. Why did he not just impose and exercise his will upon man and say, "You are going to obey me"? Period. Why didn't he just do that? Why did he not impose his will, force his will upon his creation? Well, you know, like the Bible says, we don't know the mind of the Lord. And we may not be able to answer everything about that question. But I do know this, that obviously in that, God wanted his creation. He wanted man to be able to choose. That's apparent. He did not want to make man a robot. He did not want man to be obedient to him, because he didn't have any choice otherwise. He wanted him to have the ability to choose. And I will say this, I believe that one great reason behind that is because I believe that every time a person chooses the Lord, it's much more glorifying to him than it is if we were forced to do that. When we choose to come to him, then God gets honor and he gets glory from that. And so Adam had the choice. But we need to always remember this, just as we found in the and what was read in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, where I read, it said, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou go to possess it." But listen to the next verse. "But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it." God blesses good choices, and he punishes evil choices. You see, too many people today, and I suppose it's always been this way to some extent, but so many people believe that though the choice is theirs, that they can make the choice, whatever that it is, that they can choose whatever they want to choose and do whatever they want to do without any consequences whatsoever. It's up to me. It's my life. It's up to me what I do with it. Whatever I choose is all right. Friends, that is a demonic, the influence of the devil upon the lives of people. Because it's not okay. Because we have an all-seeing eye watching us every day. We have an all-seeing eye that sees everything that we do, that knows every word that we speak, that knows our thoughts before we ever think them, that we are accountable unto. Listen, I'm afraid the world has just pushed that aside. What was the first thing that we read here in the beginning of this reading lesson in Deuteronomy chapter 30? That is to fear the Lord. And I believe the fear of the Lord is just, it seems to have just left the minds of people in the world that we live in today. I'll tell you what, friends, I don't know about you, but it just seems to me like the world has gone crazy. I mean, there's just a madness. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, you can. But I'll tell you what, if it's against the teachings and the ways of God, you're going to pay the price for it. You're going to pay the price. There's people in the world today, they're going through this life and they think, "I've got away with this, I've got away with that, I've got away with murder, I've got away with thievery, I've gotten, you know, over on this person or on that person." And you know what? Listen, there may not always be justice. There may not always be a proper and a right justice handed down to people from man. But I'll tell you what, the Bible tells me that the day is coming when we are all going to stand before God and we're going to give an account unto him of the things that we've done in this body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. And I'll tell you what, when God hands out justice and when God brings judgment, he never makes a mistake, ever. But it seems like that today, the thought of standing before God and giving account unto him for our lives doesn't even seem to enter the minds of so many people. I can do whatever I want. It's my life. It's my choice. It's my decision. When all you have to do is look to the scriptures and look at the first man that ever chose to transgress the ways of God, and what happened? What happened? He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty. God said, "In the day, Adam, in the day, you'll surely die." And I'll guarantee you that the very day that he transgressed God's law, he died. That very day, he became separated from God that day. Listen to the first proverb, verses 23 through 30. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You know, there's something that I realize about being a minister. And those of my brethren that have been called, I'm sure, realize the same thing. If you don't yet, you will. There's times when we get discouraged. We stand and we preach the word of God, and know the Lord has given you a message, and you can feel the presence of God when you're preaching that message, and then you don't see the results that you think should come from it, and you can fall into all these different kinds of emotional traps and stuff and say, well, you know, I must have not done a good job, or you know, for some reason it wasn't received, or I didn't get the point across or something. But, you know, I came to the realization long ago that all I can do is what God has called me to do, to preach His Word. Listen, if I preach to you that are lost the gospel, if I preach to you that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for your sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose from the grave, and that He's now seated at the right hand of God, and that He is the all-sufficient Savior, and that He's all that you need for salvation, but God has commanded you to repent and place your trust in Him if you want to be saved, that's all that I can do is preach the gospel unto you, and then the choice is yours. It's yours. I preach to the church here where I pastor. The responsibilities that we have before God as a church, if I preach the truth to you, if I preach to you the things that the scriptures tell us that we are to do as the people of God, if I preach to you that we are to let our light shine before this lost and dying world, if I preach to you what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and that you be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's all I can do is to preach it to you. What you do with it, the choice is yours. Oh, there's people, I've heard churches make boast. Oh, we're glad. You know, I'm glad that we have a pastor. I'm glad that we have somebody that's not afraid to preach the truth. I'm glad that we have somebody that'll tell it just like it is. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not willing to obey it, you better not be so glad, because God's going to take it and use it. He'll use it against you. Don't misunderstand me. We ought to always be thankful for men that'll preach the truth. But if you make your boast, hey, we heard the truth. God's word came to us. You need to realize this too, that you're responsible to God for how you react to it. And you're responsible to Him for what you do with it. If you don't believe that's true, go read the last chapter of 2 Chronicles and you'll find out that that's exactly true. God speaking about Israel, he said, I sent my prophets to them, I sent my messengers to them, and they mocked the messengers of God, and they misused the prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. When God sends his word forth to people, he doesn't take it lightly. When people turn a deaf ear and refuse it, he doesn't take it lightly. God holds us accountable for what we do with his word. Now, having said all this, I can only say that it's a great blessing that we have a merciful God. Let me tell you something. Don't ever pray for God's justice on you. You don't want that. Pray for his mercy. Ask him for his mercy. If you and I got what was coming to us, none of us would be saved, would we? If we got justice from God, we would all be headed to hell. That's exactly what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, we'd have no hope. But thank God that he's merciful, and thank God that he's loving, and thank God that he is willing to forgive us of our sins. But listen, you must make that choice to come to him, to repent before him, to call upon his name, to come before him as the sinner that you are, and ask for God's forgiveness. Let me tell you something, Christian friends. When there's things in our life that are messing up our fellowship with God, we need to get rid of them. We need to come to God and we need to get forgiveness for those things. If you're here today and you're lost, you need God's forgiveness upon your life. You sure do. You don't need to make it your choice to just continue to push him away. He wants to save you. Paul said in the 20th chapter of Acts, in verses 26 and 27, when he called the church at Ephesus, the elders of the church at Ephesus together, and he was getting ready to leave them, he said this to them, and I believe that this tells us that he was telling them, you know, now it's up to you. It's your choice. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Why was Paul able to say that? He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now you're responsible. That's what he was telling them. Paul said, when I was among you, I preached, you know, I preached to you repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I preached those things that were profitable unto you. I preached those things that you needed to hear, and now I'm pure from that. It's just like what Ezekiel taught us about the watchman. You know, when the watchman sees, you know, trouble coming, if he does not sound the trumpet, he said, the blood I'm going to require at the watchman's hand, but if he sounds the trumpet and you choose not to hear and you choose not to obey, then the watchman is free. He's free from that. And your blood will be up on your own head. And that's what Paul was saying here as he was leaving these people there in Ephesus. I've told you the truth. And I tell you what, I believe that's true. I don't think this only has to be applied to somebody that's leaving to go somewhere else. I think it's true every time the Word of God is preached. Now I'm free from it. I'm free from it, and it's up to you what you do with it. And, you know, I feel the same way that Moses did in the Old Testament. You know, when I set before you life and death, good and evil, my greatest desire is that you choose the good, that you choose life, that you come to the Lord. You know, when I preach a message to the church, my greatest desire is that you choose to do what's right, that you take God's word and you apply it and you do what's right with it. But listen, I realize that I can't force that upon you. And I know from the teaching of God's word that He doesn't. God does not impose His will upon us. He gives us the choice. I'd like for us to have a song. And I just want to make this invitation today while we have a song, while we stand and sing together. Anybody, saved or lost, while we have this song, if there's something that God is dealing with your heart about, make the right choice. Do the right thing. Follow the Lord. Follow after truth. And God will surely bless you for it. While we sing.